Good evening. I'm Naomi Lewin. Welcome to a live broadcast of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra from Carnegie Hall on WQXR. French pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet is the soloist tonight, and this is a return engagement for him. He first performed with Orpheus in October 2008 as soloist for the Piano Concerto No. 2 by Camille Saint-Saëns.
Orpheus is really an extension of a chamber music group, and that's what I find so unique. It feels like we're playing with a string quartet or a sextet. There's just nothing like Orpheus. It's just they're a completely unique ensemble, and at a level also that is completely unique. And I think for lots of repertoire, and actually more than you think, you would think, oh, the chamber orchestra, okay, it's going to be only Mozart, Beethoven. The first time I performed with them was Saint-Saëns' Second Concerto, and I had no idea what I was getting into. I heard about them, I knew it was a fantastic group of musicians, but I had no idea how it was going to be to work with them, and also to work without a conductor, because all my life, when I played with an orchestra, I always had a conductor. So I was excited about it, but not really know how I would like it, how it would go, and it was a fabulous experience. I really have such great memories of it. I just wanted to renew that experience and do it again.
Pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. I interviewed him after an Orpheus rehearsal earlier this week, and we'll hear a bit more from that interview later on. The title for the program this evening is Another Time, Another Place. All the music is from the other side of the ocean, another place. First up, the Divertimento on Schlesinger's Round by English composer Sir Michael Tippett. Then you'll hear Jean-Yves Thibaudet perform the Piano Concerto No. 1 by Dmitri Shostakovich. After intermission, Orpheus will play a short piece by Swiss composer Arthur Honegger, and the concert ends with an Orpheus favorite, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. I am in the broadcast booth at Carnegie Hall. My WQXR colleague Elliot Forrest is standing backstage right now. Hi, Elliot.
Good evening, Naomi. Yes, I am stage right, to be exact. If you've ever been to Carnegie and you face the stage and you look to your left, that's where all the musicians come and go. That's where I'm standing, just a few feet away from the door. And as you can probably hear, there are musicians all around me from Orpheus tuning up and getting ready. Terrific world-class musicians everywhere. Cellists sitting and getting ready, and violinists in front of me and behind, and the trumpet player. This is their third concert here at Carnegie Hall this season, but since we last saw Orpheus, they've toured the East Coast and Europe. Orpheus, as you may know, is a New York-based ensemble formed in 1972 with a group of students from the Manhattan School of Music, Columbia, and Juilliard, dedicated to performing orchestral repertoire in a chamber music setting with rotating musical leadership and a signature aspect, no conductor.
That opens this Orpheus concert was written for a royal event that is being celebrated with a lot of hoopla this year and next. 60 years ago, this week, Princess Elizabeth became Queen Elizabeth II of England. Her coronation took place in 1953, and six English composers, including Sir Michael Tippett, each contributed a movement to a piece called Variations on an Elizabethan Theme that was performed as part of the coronation festivities. The theme that they all varied was Schlesinger's Round, a popular dance during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I, and that's what you're hearing in the background now in an arrangement by William Byrd. After the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, Michael Tippett expanded his variation, working in musical quotations from British composers across the centuries, including Orlando Gibbons, Henry Purcell, Thomas Arne, John Field, and a bit of Gilbert and Sullivan. Elliot, what's going on backstage now? You've got an orchestra there ready to go out and play a little tippet?
They are biting at the bit, actually. They would very much like to go out on stage. The door is still closed, so we're probably just a minute or two away. Tippett wrote his Divertimento on Schlesinger's Round in the 20th century, looking back to composers from the Renaissance through the 19th century, as you talked about, Naomi. In the next piece on the program, a little bit later on this evening, which was also written in the 20th century, Dmitri Shostakovich looked back to two pieces by Beethoven, the Appassionata Sonata and the Rage Over a Lost Penny, as well as contemporary film music. Sir Michael Tippett was a strict pacifist. During World War II, he registered as a conscientious objector, and when he was drafted, he refused to serve and went to prison instead. He was born in 1905. He died in 1998. Naomi, it's amazing. This orchestra's been around for almost four decades, making music on a global stage. They've toured from Brunei to Vienna. Of course, the annual concerts they've had here at Carnegie Hall, they have esteemed soloists, they have rising stars. They've had about 34 original commissions as well as playing the standard repertoire. And of course, their discography, as we know, because we play their music on the radio all the time, Naomi, 70 albums, Grammy Award winners, and of course, the Grammys are tomorrow night as well.
That ringtone we just heard was the Carnegie Hall reminder to turn off the cell phones. It was not part of the program. It was not a New York Philharmonic event. They've just been flashing also on the stage of Carnegie Hall a visual reminder to turn off cell phones. I hear some clapping there, Elliot. It sounds like the troops are getting rounded up.
That's exactly right. They were just all pretty much shushed. The door has opened and Orpheus is coming on stage.
To the applause of the audience. Filing out, taking their places. And we have Orpheus Chamber Orchestra on stage, ready to perform the Divertimento on Schlesinger's Round. Taking a bow now and taking their seats. The Divertimento on Schlesinger's Round, live from Carnegie Hall in New York City on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR and WQXR.org. Music by Michael Tippett. Thank you. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra with Sir Michael Tippett's Divertimento on Sellinger's Round live at Carnegie Hall. I'm Naomi Lewin. I don't know about you, Elliot, but I was singing along with that last movement.
Did you recognize a little tune there?
Oh, yes. That was Alan Kay, the clarinetist, with that little snippet from Yeoman of the Guard. I have a song to sing-o. I grew up with Gilbert and Sullivan, so that was a real fun one. But, of course, there were snippets of things all through the piece.
Yes, there was a little piece of Orlando Gibbons and Henry Purcell, Thomas Arne, and John Field, in addition to the Arthur Sullivan music by Sir Michael Tippett, who fits squarely into the 20th century, but with this piece harken back to many other composers as well.
Eric Weirich was the violin soloist early on in the piece. He is the concertmaster of the New Jersey Symphony, in addition to playing with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Really a lovely, that's a delightful piece.
We have a little break now to set up for the Shostakovich. Tonight's performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Next on the program, the Piano Concerto No. 1 by Dmitri Shostakovich, featuring Jean-Yves Thibaudet as soloist. I spoke with Jean-Yves Thibaudet after a rehearsal earlier this week, and I asked how well he knew the Shostakovich before Orpheus invited him to perform it.
Shostakovich, actually, I learned it specially for this occasion. We talked about a few ideas, and then the manager in those days, Graham, came to me and said, how about Shostakovich first piano concerto? And I said, well, it's a great piece. I've never played it, but maybe I could learn it. And I looked at the score, and then I decided that I really wanted to learn it, and I'm really happy I did. It's a difficult piece. I have to say it's a difficult piece technically. Actually, I didn't know about it until quite recently, and I'm really happy that I was able to watch it. But there is a recording of Shostakovich playing himself at the piano, and it is a fascinating performance, and it was a great lesson for me. I mean, it just whenever you have a chance to hear a composer do his own work, you know at least that hopefully what he does is what he wants.
That's tonight's piano soloist, Jean-Yves Thibaudet, and you can find a video clip from the Shostakovich performance that he mentioned on our website, wqxr.org. This Shostakovich concerto is actually sometimes known as the Concerto for Piano and Trumpet because it is scored, you can hear the trumpet there in the background, for the unusual combination of piano, trumpet, and strings with a sizable solo part for the trumpet player. Tonight, that is Louis Hanslick. Now, the trumpet is not quite an equal partner with the pianist. It's more of a mocking observer who keeps interjecting. And speaking of which, Elliot, I'm sure you have something to add.
I don't know what you're insinuating.
Oh, no, no, no.
The Carnegie Hall stage crew has brought the piano center stage right now into place for the concerto, and Shostakovich himself premiered the piece in Leningrad at the tender age of 27. This work combines youthful sarcasm and dry humor, quickly shifting from light and airy to heavily dramatic. The composer infused the orchestration and solo parts with a wide variety of different colors, including some jazz rhythms and harmonies.
And Jean-Yves Thibaudet really has top-notch credentials when it comes to that. In addition to recording the complete piano works of Ravel, Satie, and Debussy, he has recorded albums of music by jazz legends Duke Ellington and Bill Evans. And I see the door open and the folks coming out on stage now to perform.
And Jean-Yves Thibaudet taking the stage as well.
Yes. Do we know what he's wearing?
Rather subdued for him, right, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
Simple black, scarf.
I see them all
scarf.
Taking a bow now, Elliot. So it looks like they're getting ready to sit down and perform the Shostakovich Piano Concerto No. 1 live from Carnegie Hall on WQXR. Thank you. The Concerto for Piano, Trumpet, and Strings by Dmitri Shostakovich, performed by Orpheus Chamber Orchestra with Jean-Yves Thibaudet at the keyboard and Louis Henslick on trumpet. I'm Naomi Lewin. We are broadcasting this Orpheus concert live from Carnegie Hall on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR and WQXR.org. Elliot Forrest has a backstage pass tonight, but the orchestra is still out on stage, although Jean-Yves Thibaudet is heading your way. Elliot, you must be pretty happy.
He is. He's just off stage now and taking the bows from the audience and the applause, and he's coming back out.
Yes, he is, and just motioned to the trumpeter. Trumpeter Louis Henslick was standing at the very back of the orchestra, Jean-Yves Thibaudet and his piano at the front, and now they're both coming around to the front and bowing to the audience, cheering wildly in Carnegie Hall, this completely exuberant concerto.
Jean-Yves Thibaudet was born in Lyon, France, and went to the Lyon Conservatory, made his first appearance at the age of 7, his first public appearance, and at age 18, won the Young Concert Artist auditions.
And now they're heading back in your direction, Elliot. The orchestra's seated. Any consultation on the mound going out back there?
Jean-Yves Thibaudet and Louis Henslick are hugging each other and then heading back on stage again.
And as I said, the audience is just going bananas after that terrific performance of just the world's most jubilant piano concerto. I see people standing now in the hall. And once again, more bows all around. Jean-Yves Thibaudet on piano, Louis Henslick, the trumpeter, and Orpheus Chamber Orchestra now walking off the stage behind them.
It does seem to be that it's intermission time here at Carnegie Hall.
Well, when I spoke with Jean-Yves Thibaudet after rehearsal for the Shostakovich Concerto, we talked about all kinds of things, starting with how he felt about working with Orpheus again.
It gives me the possibility here to be much more involved in the playing and the musicianship and the decisions. I would never go to a conductor and say, oh, here, could you please try that? It would just be very awkward to go in front of him and speak instead of him. So here it gives me occasion to really be able to speak with the musician and exchange ideas. They have ideas, I have ideas, and we try them out. And it's really so, we're so intimate when we do it, and I think that's really great.
I know you've recorded the soundtracks of several films, and that gives you something in common with Dmitri Shostakovich, who used to play for silent films when he was younger. And you can certainly hear that influence in this concerto. Do you feel that connection?
There certainly is an influence. I think also an influence of jazz. There's a lot of jazzy influence in Shostakovich music and film, and as you said, he was himself, he composed also a lot of music for the movies, which I think in those days was normal. I think most of the big composers of that era, whether it was Prokofiev, Shostakovich, and they were all writing for the movies, and I like that. I really like that. As you said, also he was playing himself for the silent movies, and that's really amazing. That takes a great talent.
Now, you have also recorded music by jazz legends Duke Ellington and Bill Evans. Does that have an influence on how you play the jazzier elements of this concerto?
It probably does. As I said, I think Shostakovich was very much influenced with jazz. He wrote even two jazz suites. I don't think about it. Obviously, I don't sit down at the piano and think, oh, I have an influence from the jazz. Let's use it. No, but it's in me. It's like they always are there, present, and I'm always using them unconsciously. Even when I play Gershwin, I think I could not play Gershwin the same way I play now if I hadn't played jazz. And same thing with Shostakovich. There's always an element that is there, and when it just wants to kick in, it will just kick in.
This Shostakovich concerto also has another soloist.
It's true that it's a very special concerto for that. I mean, it almost should be a concerto for piano and trumpet, because, I mean, really, the trumpet is so exposed all the time. It's got so many great moments and great tunes. We have, you know, great contact.
So I've got to ask, is this piece as much fun to play as it is to listen to?
Yes, it is. It is really fun to play, and I'm really happy that I've learned it now, and I hope I can do it many other times. It was lots of work, but once you've done it, now is the fun can really begin, and it really is fun.
Your teacher at the Paris Conservatory studied with Ravel. Do you feel the connection to Ravel?
Yes, and when I perform French music in general, yeah, that lady, Madame Descaves, was a fantastic teacher. And the fact that she had a direct link with Ravel was amazing, because she would come out and tell a story that he would have said, things he would have said, he would have marked under a score, which are really amazing. Funny enough, she also knew very well Prokofiev, because Prokofiev lived in Paris for many years, and she was having every Wednesday dinner, apparently, with Mr. and Mrs. Prokofiev, and her husband, so she could speak about Prokofiev as well.
Okay, so this is the red carpet question. Are you wearing an outfit designed by Vivienne Westwood?
Absolutely, yes. Vivienne Westwood has been designing for at least, say, 7 or 8 years now my wardrobe, especially for the stage, and I will wear something from her.
How did your collaboration with Vivienne Westwood get started?
I met her at a big event in Zurich, Switzerland, and we just had such a great time. She's such a fantastic person, character and artist, and just fascinating to be speaking with her. And of course, I knew her work. And then eventually, I think the year after, I was asked to perform at the last night of the Proms. And it was in London. It was Rhapsody in Blue, Gershwin. And I just picked up my phone and I said, I have nothing to do. I mean, I'm just going to ask her. And I called her and I said, Vivienne, would you consider doing a special clothes for the event? It would be on worldwide television and it would be really great. I'd love to. And she said, oh, absolutely. She said, why don't you drop by in London, the studio, when you're there next time, and we'll work. And we had 2 or 3 visits there. She designed a really amazing piece for that event that I still have. I don't wear it very often, but it's a fantastic piece. And that's the beginning of our collaboration.
Wonderful French pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. He's performing there a bit of George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. And we just heard him play Dmitri Shostakovich's Concerto for Piano, Trumpet, and Strings with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Elliot Forrest is backstage now with Jean-Yves Thibaudet.
That's right, Naomi. We are backstage right. Jean-Yves Thibaudet is with me live right after the performance here at Carnegie Hall. We just heard you describe the piece, the mix of jazz, a little bit of the influences. You've just come off this performance tonight just moments ago. What is there anything different tonight that was different than any other performance you've had?
Well, I haven't had many performances of that piece because it's a new piece for me. So this is the second performance. Last night was the first one in Maryland. It's an extremely exciting piece. I think if anything it was faster tonight, probably with all the excitement, the adrenaline. But I really love that piece. It's just so full of energy and just pure fun. It's just full of humor and it's really terrific.
I know it was new to you the first time you played with Orpheus to not have a conductor. Is that are you settled into that? Is that
completely,
okay? You're not looking around for some help?
I'm not looking for a conductor anymore. No, we're completely comfortable and it really is a very, very special group, and I'm very happy we were able to work again, and I hope we will work in the future again.
And you've played here, but is it always special to be here at Carnegie Hall?
It's magical.
What does it feel like?
It's nothing like Carnegie. Well, it's such a great audience tonight. It's just, I think it's the magic of the acoustics, of course, but it's also just the history. You know everything that happened in this hall. It just goes back, all those fantastic artists that perform there. And I think there are some vibe. There are something that stay in the hall, and certainly in Carnegie, there really is something special.
Is there one or two that stick in your head? I mean, I always come back here. Here we are backstage, right? And I know the Beatles, Tchaikovsky, Lenny Bruce, Judy Garland. Who's in your head?
I keep forgetting that all those other also, I mean, kind of musicians also perform. You know, I think mostly, I would think of Rachmaninoff or Rubinstein or, I mean, all those. But you're right, absolutely right, Judy Garland also. I mean, all those great singers as well, yeah.
Pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet, I know there's a load of people upstairs waiting for you, and I want to thank you for stopping
by
and chatting with us live.
Thank you very much.
Good to see you again.
Bye.
Nice to see you. Elliot Forrest broadcasting here live from Carnegie Hall with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. With us now is Louis Hanslick. He's the trumpeter for Orpheus, and you had a lot of solo parts in this last piece, and the first piece as well, right?
Yeah, I did, Elliot.
How does that feel to sort of be among a lot of strings and this great pianist and really, in a way, very exposed?
Well, the trumpet, in many respects, is always exposed, and I often talk and quip with my string colleagues and wind colleagues who often play many more notes per concert than I might. But I always say, you know what, when I do play, it's heard and it really counts.
And it was kind of a fight to the finish there at the end. There is a very exciting ending. Tell me about that.
Well, it did. You would talk to Jean-Yves about perhaps what was different about this performance tonight from last night in Maryland, and actually the tempo was a lot faster. We found ourselves kind of dueling back and forth in our phrases a little bit to see
tonight.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a race. It was fun.
It was faster, fun. And that's okay.
Yes.
Now, do you know this piece, this Shostakovich, or were you volunteered to play this piece?
Well, I actually became aware of this piece when I was in college in graduate school. I performed it at Juilliard as part of a concerto competition. That was my first time with the piece, with conductor, of course. And every trumpet player, when they study orchestral literature, sort of learn the solos that are associated with this piece. So I've always been familiar with it. And when Orpheus scheduled to do it a few years ago, you know, as one of the trumpeters for Orpheus, I had the opportunity to play it tonight. So it's always fun.
And I suppose I should call you doctor. You're a professor.
I am a professor.
At the University of Connecticut.
Yes, that's right.
And also there's educational initiatives within Orpheus, right?
Exactly.
Tell us about that.
Well, the educational initiatives of Orpheus fall under the umbrella of what we call the Orpheus Institute, which is, you know, multi-pronged in many ways. But in its purest sense, the Orpheus Institute really is Orpheus musicians fostering students, student musicians, in how to play in a musician-led ensemble, such as a string ensemble or even a wind ensemble, an ensemble without conductor. And so we have worked for years with students of music conservatories, teaching them about the Orpheus process and the Orpheus ideals, what we strive for. But there's a broader sense to it as well, and we've been expanding it recently within universities to include students in business schools, the liberal arts and sciences, honors programs, because we really feel like the ideals, the true ideals of Orpheus, such as collaboration, collective creativity, empowerment, really speak to a broad constituency of students, and they could all learn something from looking at Orpheus through a lens.
I want to let you go because I know it's your intermission. You need a little downtime, but it's one thing to play Carnegie Hall, but tell me about playing the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, the theme music for it.
Yeah.
It was a blast, and it's always nice to hear yourself on recurring events whenever the NFL on NBC comes on television.
We'll be listening for that. Louis Henslick, trumpet player with Orpheus, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Take care. We are now at the intermission of this concert of Orpheus. We just heard soloist Jean-Yves Thibaudet in the Shostakovich Concerto. Last year, he was soloist on another kind of stage, a sound stage. Jean-Yves Thibaudet, as we heard, also played on the score to the film Atonement, squeezed in recording sessions between recitals in Boston and New York to perform in Alexandre Desplat's score to the new film Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Here's a clip from that soundtrack.
Music from Alexandre Desplat's soundtrack to the film Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. That was Jean-Yves Thibaudet on piano. I'm Naomi Lewin, live from Carnegie Hall on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR Newark and New York, and WQXR.org. Tonight's performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. WQXR is supported by Rutgers University Division of Continuing Studies, offering courses for career advancement during an uncertain economy at locations throughout New Jersey and online. Classes in digital media, executive leadership in government, and more, as well as professional development opportunities in the areas of project management and construction management. More at mycareer.rutgers.edu. And we get support from Parlance Chamber Concerts, presenting violinist Tim Fain, cellist Andres Diaz, and pianist Wendy Chen in an all-Beethoven concert on Sunday, February 12th at 4 p.m. at Westside Presbyterian Church in Ridgewood, New Jersey. The concert will include Beethoven's Spring Sonata for violin and piano, his G minor cello sonata, and the Archduke Trio. Complete program and ticket information at parlancechamberconcerts.org. Coming up on the second half of this Orpheus concert, a short pastorale by Arthur Honegger, and then an Orpheus chestnut in the best way. the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings. Tchaikovsky wrote his Serenade for Strings purely for his own pleasure, sort of as an antidote to a commission that he was working on that he didn't really like that much, the 1812 Overture. Here is another Tchaikovsky triumph that was written just a few years before the Serenade for Strings, cellist Elisa Weilerstein and Orpheus, from a live concert recording of the Variations on a Rococo Theme.
From WQXR's live broadcast in 2010, you just heard Orpheus with Elisa Weilerstein and the Variations on a Rococo Theme by Tchaikovsky. I'm Elliot Forrest here on this Saturday night, backstage live at Carnegie Hall, and Orpheus is getting ready to take the stage for the second half of this concert. Musicians are offstage right with me, warming up and getting ready. One of the new Orpheus members warming up here is Julie Landsman, former principal horn of the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra. Naomi Lewin did an intermission feature about Julie Landsman for the Met Opera broadcasts a few seasons back.
I was the first. I always wanted to be first horn of the Met. This was my dream job from age 12.
In 1985, Julie Landsman was the first woman to become a member of the Met Orchestra's French horn section. She was following in some big footsteps.
One of my teachers was the former first horn of the Met, Howard Howard, who retired 2 years ago. I wanted to do what he did.
One trip to the Met with her teacher and Landsman was hooked.
I became a devout opera fan. I was a standee in the top of the family circle. I stood five times a week throughout my entire high school career, and I dreamt. I had my opera glasses fixed in the pit. I wanted it so bad.
Now Landsman passes on that dream to her students and tries to equip them with what's needed for the Met Orchestra's rigorous blind audition, where candidates all perform behind a screen.
I teach them the way we play here, which is very clean and clear and precise and lyrical with a lot of warmth to it. So when we hear my students behind the screen, even though I can't see them, I recognize the sound and the style that I've taught them.
As a result, the Met's French horn section now looks a lot different.
There are three other women, and they're my students. So now I've got my girls with me, which is awesome.
Julie Landsman, 24-year veteran of the Met Orchestra. Bringing you this Met cameo, I'm Naomi Lewin.
Thanks to the Metropolitan Opera for permission to use that profile of Julie Landsman. Elliot Forrest here, broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall. Actually, Julie Landsman's about 10 feet from me right now, getting her French horn all ready. Tonight's performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. I'm Elliot Forrest, backstage right. Naomi Lewin is up in the broadcast booth. What do we have next, Naomi?
We have a pastorale by Arthur Honegger, who isn't nearly as much of a household name today as he was in French households in the 1920s. Honegger was actually Swiss, but he was born and lived in France. He was one of Les Six, a group of six composers interested in promoting new French music. And that name, Les Six, was coined as a comparison to the Mighty Five Russian composers. WQXR is supported by NYC & Company, signature sponsor of the Battle of the Boroughs music competition and producer of Off-Broadway Week, now through February 12th, giving visitors and residents an opportunity to explore the quality, variety, and breadth of 39 different Off-Broadway shows. More information at nycgo.com/Off-Broadway Week. Well, this Orpheus concert is called Another Time, Another Place, and the next piece will take us from a cold winter night in New York to a summer morning in the Swiss Alps above the city of Bern. Honegger's symphonic poem Pastorale d'été, Summer Pastorale, is a blissful meditation on nature, and you will hear the wind instruments passing a soaring theme around, sort of like a camera panning slowly across a pastoral scene.
He was inspired by a vacation, we're told, that he took in Switzerland on the score. The composer actually quotes the poet Rimbaud, and he says, J'ai embrassé l'aube d'été, or I have embraced the red dawn of summer. It should be beautiful.
Truly lovely pastoral music, especially at this time of year, to hear something like that. And there's the signal again for the phones. And just a reminder that WQXR has new apps for iPhone and Android, so you can take WQXR wherever you go, but not into Carnegie Hall. You're going to want to turn your phone off if you're in Carnegie Hall. And you can hear all kinds of things, archive programs, new 24-hour web stream, Opera Vore, and you can download the app for WQXR at wqxr.org/mobile. And now, here comes Orpheus Chamber Orchestra heading back out on stage, getting ready to perform Arthur Honegger's Pastorale d'été, this concert coming to you live from Carnegie Hall on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR, and wqxr.org. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra now assembled, bowing to the audience and taking their seats, ready to perform Honegger's Pastorale d'été, Summer Pastorale.
There's a piece that really deserves to be much better known. That was Orpheus Chamber Orchestra performing Pastoral d'été, Summer Pastoral, a symphonic poem by Swiss composer Arthur Honegger. I'm Naomi Lewin. We are broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR, and WQXR.org. I heard birds, I heard little Alp songs, folk-like melodies, all kinds of wonderful stuff in that piece. Now, before the final piece on tonight's program, Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings, my WQXR colleague Elliot Forrest is going to go out on stage and speak with two longtime Orpheus members, violinists Todd Phillips and Martha Kaplan. Tchaikovsky was a huge Mozart fan. He was channeling Mozart in the first movement of his Serenade for Strings. The second movement contains the popular waltz, which is so popular that it has become a standalone favorite. In fact, Orpheus has often used the waltz as an encore on tour across the country and around the world. The third movement, the elegy, is also often performed on its own. Now, Tchaikovsky was notoriously dissatisfied with his own work. He rarely had a kind word to say about any of his pieces once he was done writing them, except his Serenade for Strings. That he liked. And other people over the years have agreed with him. The waltz from the second movement puts in an appearance in the MGM film Anchors Away, sung by Catherine Grayson and José Iturbe, and George Balanchine set his ballet Serenade to the Serenade for Strings. Here come the members of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra back out onto the stage. They are going to get ready to play the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings. And we've got Elliot Forrest coming out on stage too. He is about to speak with two members of the orchestra.
Good evening. I'm Elliot Forrest from 105.9 FM WQXR. And we are broadcasting this entire concert on the radio, so you're on the radio too, so let them hear it around the world, what you think of Orpheus. I've had the honor tonight to be right back here as the musicians come off, and we've been doing some backstage interviews, including one with Jean-Yves Thibaudet and Louis Hanslick, but Orpheus has invited me to have you get to know some of the performers in Orpheus tonight. So joining me on stage are violinists Todd Phillips and Martha Kaplan. Martha, let me start with you, if you'll come up a little bit closer. Now, we're going to hear the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings. What does this mean to you and Orpheus?
This piece is really like coming home for the string players. Even though home is home, and there may be changes in the interior design of our home, every time we play it, it's always a little bit different, depending on who the leadership is and who the players are, but it's always like coming home, and I think I've played this piece with Orpheus for 4 decades.
Now, I understand that you had a very unusual performance of this piece in Chicago in a very unusual location.
We were on our way back. We had been on tour, and we were supposed to play on a Saturday night at Carnegie Hall, just like tonight. And we were stuck at the Chicago O'Hare Airport. Does anybody ever have an experience like that? When it got to be about 6 hours of waiting at the gate, one of our violinists said, "Let's play for everyone." And just like that, there was no dissent. The entire string orchestra got up, took their instruments out, and we all started to play the Tchaikovsky Serenade. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most meaningful performances I have ever given because we don't usually get to really see the audience. We had people standing this close to us holding our music for us. And when the performance was over with, people were taking pictures, they were calling their friends on the phone, they were taking videos, and long story short, there was so much joy and a lot of very touched people, including myself. And then we went back to Carnegie Hall and played it again.
Did you do an encore that night? Maybe Flight of the Bumblebee or Flying Dutchman? Or no, I guess not. Todd, let me talk to you a little bit. You're also a member of the Orion String Quartet, longtime member. Now, you've played in a number of different places and chairs for this Tchaikovsky, right?
I think pretty much every chair in the violin section I've sat in.
And what does that mean? Is it different parts every time then?
Well, certainly, depending where you sit, you have a very different role. You know, if you're in the back, you're trying to find what everybody's doing in the front. And when you're in the front, of course, you're in a little more of a leadership position. So you have to be able to switch roles very quickly in this group. So it's always a challenge.
And are there different changes in the interpretation since you've been playing it for so long over the years?
Honestly, I don't know. No, I say that because, you know, each time we play it, it's always a new experience, and we all bring new ideas every performance, every rehearsal, and it's sort of like you add layers to the performance, and it's very hard to try to strip away layers and try to remember what it used to be like. But what I can say, though, I think is that over the years, having played it so many times and have the great experience of working on a great piece of music like this, you end up with perhaps the possibility of being more spontaneous because you have this intimate knowledge of the piece. So any turn that starts to happen, you know, someone will be taking a phrase and say, I can do that. Okay, let's go with that. And so that's really an awful lot of fun and very satisfying.
Todd Phillips, Martha Kaplan, let's hear Tchaikovsky from Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Elliot Forrest with Martha Kaplan and Todd Phillips of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. They're now getting ready to perform Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings live from Carnegie Hall on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
audience so eager to applaud Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, they didn't even wait until the end of the Tchaikovsky Serenade for Strings. I'm Naomi Lewin. WQXR has been broadcasting this concert live from Carnegie Hall. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra now taking a bow and leaving, heading towards my colleague Elliot Forrest backstage. I'm guessing you've got a pretty happy orchestra coming at you, Elliot.
This is such a loved piece and such a much-loved ensemble. Orpheus around for almost 40 years, such an institution in this city, and the orchestra coming back on stage to the applause of the audience live here at Carnegie Hall.
And they're getting a standing ovation in Carnegie Hall for that stunning performance of Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. Whistles, cheers from the audience. Great enthusiasm for this wonderful Another Time, Another Place concert by Orpheus Chamber Orchestra live in Carnegie Hall.
What an interesting and varied program that we saw tonight, starting off with the music of Sir Michael Tippett, then Shostakovich featuring pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet, music by Onegger that was a pastoral, and here this beautiful, familiar, much-loved Serenade for Strings by Tchaikovsky.
Tomorrow night on WQXR, we will bring you a live broadcast and live webcast from our green space. My colleague Terrence McKnight will be interviewing Rufus Wainwright about his new opera, Prima Donna, which is having its New York premiere at New York City Opera this month. That's tomorrow night at 7 on WQXR.org and 105.9 FM.
Orpheus going back on stage a third time to the applause of this much appreciative audience live here at Carnegie Hall. Thanks to all the folks who helped make this broadcast possible, including the staffs of Orpheus and Carnegie, especially Leszek Wojciech. A special thank to trumpeter Louis Hanslek and pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet for joining us live backstage during the concert tonight to talk about this experience. The WQXR team includes Martha Bonta, Eileen Delahunty, Aaron Dalton, and Kevin Maynor.
Ed Haber is our technical director, and our recording engineers are George Wellington, Irene Trudell, and Josh Rogeson. On Wednesday, this Wednesday, WQXR will be back at Carnegie Hall for a live broadcast of a recital by Norwegian pianist Leif Ove Andsnes, and that is another installment of our new series, Carnegie Hall Live, produced in partnership with Carnegie Hall and American Public Media. That is Wednesday, February 15th at 8 p.m. here on WQXR. I'm Naomi Lewin, live from Carnegie Hall with Elliot Forrest. It's been a pleasure. This is listener-supported Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR Newark and New York, and WQXR.org. Now back to Annie Bergen in the WQXR studio.